You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week, Art and Soul is about the culinary arts. And I'm joined, as usual, for this segment by local food expert and writer and host of The In Crowd every Sunday afternoon here on WEMU, Jessica Webster. Hello, Jessica Webster.
Hello, Lisa Berry.
We have a special guest, the creator of Ann Arbor's Grange Kitchen and Bar, the creator and chef, Brandon Johns. Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. How are you?
Good. For those who may not be familiar with Grange, how would you describe your restaurant?
Well, we opened almost 9 years ago as a pretty strict farm-to-table restaurant, really relying on the seasons and the local farmers and the local farming community to source all of our products. And we've been true to form for all these 9 years, and we hope to continue for at least 9 more.
What sort of dishes can you order at Grange?
Everything, as long as it's local. I mean, we do, like, our chicken dish, in some variation, has been one of the most favorite things for all 9 years, because mainly of what kind of chicken we buy, and we try really just to do it justice. And and then it just varies on what comes and goes of the season. We do some really fun things like elk and venison from up north, lots of lamb, all the Great Lakes fish, and then all the vegetables and some wild things that people bring to us as well.
So this time of year, you know, as we're all looking around and seeing the U-Pick strawberry stands popping up.
Just did that this morning.
The asparagus has come, and, you know, we're at the tail end of that season. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what you're looking forward to the most in the next few weeks and months to prepare for people and what they can expect in your restaurant.
Well, let me first say what we do makes it hard come April. April's like the worst month ever because it's nice. It seems like spring, but there's really no food yet. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing we really look forward to, other than all the greenhouse and hoop house things we've gotten all winter, are ramps. And when ramps come, it's joy in the restaurant. So they'll
great.
Be on like 15 different, you know, half the items have something with ramps on them.
I don't know what that is.
A ramp is a wild leak, a wild foraged leak.
It's so a big harbinger of spring.
It
a
is.
Ramp.
It's the harbinger of happy days at Grange again,
okay.
at least for me in my kitchen.
And it's a ramp?
Yeah, it's called a ramp or a wild leak.
Garlic scape, is that another thing?
Garlic scape comes a little bit later.
Okay.
But yeah, ramps and then asparagus, which were, again, like you said, the tail end of, sadly. Mm-hmm. It's so quick. Next big thing will be green garlic, and then garlic scapes. And then you're in, to once you get to the July, then almost everything is available. And that's when it really starts to be really fun to be a chef in Ann Arbor doing what we do.
So you mentioned that you opened 9 years ago, and that was right at the beginning, really, of this people call the farm-to-table movement. And a lot of restaurants, not just locally but around the country, call themselves farm-to-table. But there's been a lot of controversy about that. And if you remember, in 2016, in Florida, there was a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times who did this whole expose. She's a restaurant reviewer, and she started testing all of the claims that restaurants were making about where they were sourcing their foods, going as far as taking fish and putting it in plastic bags and having it DNA tested to find out that, like, the Gulf shrimp was actually frozen shrimp from India.
Yeah, that was amazing. I remember when that article came out. I thought it was great because we've always prided ourselves in trying to do, you know, you have to make concessions come February, March, April, when you have to have onions, you have to have certain things on your menu. Mm-hmm. But you didn't see an asparagus, in July in our restaurant ever, unless it's pickled or something like that. And so we pride ourselves. So I love that. And because you see a lot of people that do overuse that term farm to table. Well, like we were saying before we started, I even hate calling this a farm to table restaurant because it's so overused, so trite, and so many people misuse it as well. You know, just because you get a couple pints of strawberries or tomatoes or whatever, to me doesn't have make
or
you
some
a farm
microgreens.
To table. Right, or some microgreens. And there's lots of people that have done that, and there's a lot, but I will say this, there's a lot more people, a lot more chefs at the market buying local food.
That's great.
Whether they even call themselves farm to table or not. And that's something great because that just helps it makes it easier for me and to help support all the things that we try to do at Grange.
Can you buy things and freeze them? Is that
still- we can do as much as we can. We pickle, we freeze, and we dry a little bit. We do as much as we can to extend the seasons.
How local are you shopping for your farm to table food?
Come July, you know, I figured it out a couple different times during the year. And, you know, from July to September, probably 90 cents of every dollar for food. I mean, that includes stuff you can't buy, like coffee, things like that. But even in the winter, you know, it drops down to maybe about 70. And that's really what we try to do. And we define local as, you know, kind of as local as we can get it. During the prime season, it's all within, you know, 50, 60 miles. And then, you know, you have to extend that. There's some people up north that do things for us, the greenhouse and stuff in the winter. So that kind of, you kind of stretches a little bit.
So you're not talking about local food coming from a local distributor?
No.
Who gets it from wherever?
No,
this is relationships that you built with farmers.
Absolute relationships we built with farmers. When I see people that list local companies as a local food vendor, and I know those local companies, that's not where they get their food, mm-hmm. and that doesn't, it's local actual food, not local companies. And yes, we've made tons of relationship with tons of farmers in this, and that's been one of the, you know, kind of unexpected joy of doing what we've done at Grange, is developing these relationships with people. Like,
I bumped into Chef Mel. I believe she makes some of your desserts at the Ann Arbor
Farmers. She makes all of our desserts.
What does Chef Mel make?
She makes all our desserts. She has also her own ice cream business called Sweet Dirt.
Right.
She sells, so good. And she's great. I will, you know, hope she's not listening, but I'll never let her leave.
So, you know. Uh-oh.
But you serve her food at Grange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's my pastry chef, and she wanted to start her own little ice cream business. And she does the same thing we do with her ice creams. Everything is super local and super pure.
One of the best desserts in the whole city, maybe the whole state, is at Grange, and it's her amazing sweet corn ice cream over a corn fritter. It's where corn and blueberry seasons intersect, and then mm-hmm. there's this blueberry over top. It is to die for.
So that's probably her most requested dessert out there, yeah.
One of my favorite things about Grange in summer is your community-supported cocktail program. People may be familiar with CSAs, which is when you have a farm share delivered to your house and you've agreed ahead of time to pay a certain amount. But what you get at Grange is you sign up in advance for a summer filled with cocktails, and they're made with locally sourced berries and herbs. And you get to go like every week and have a different cocktail, whether you're having dinner or you're just sitting out on the along the sidewalk watching the characters go by and sipping on a really delicious cocktail.
Yeah.
Where did you get that idea?
Well, that came about, of course, at the farmer's market. We were just talking about it, and it just came. What I think I was complaining about is the short season of sour cherries and how we want to brand your own sour cherries to go in a couple of different drinks. And this was especially early on. We were, you know, broke. And to really try and get enough sour cherries to last you, you have to spend a decent amount of money. And I think I was complaining about that. And I, you know, Kim, that's exactly a CSA model. Pay for it now, get it later. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. And it's been fun. You know, it's been not as popular as I thought, because it's such a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a kind of a creative idea.
Community source cocktails at Grange. And that is the owner and chef, Brandon Johns. Thank you so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Jessica Webster, thank you as always for bringing your great information to the table. And we'll listen to you Sunday afternoon for The In Crowd here on 89.1 WEMU.
Lisa, it is always a pleasure.